some of the fast food you brought in. It's just making me hungry there. It has not been touched. You've still got your fast food in the bag over your shoulder there.
Well,
what'd you do, stop at Arby's?
Yes, I did. And I thought I'd wait till you got into the program, and then I'll just start eating right in front of you.
Right in front of me, yeah. Yes. That's, okay, I'm getting hungry already. Anyway, it is the Buckmaster Show on the 4th of August. Hope you're having a good day. I hope you had a good week. And we do repeat our program. We re-air the program now. The Friday edition, we re-air Saturday morning. So if you're up early tomorrow, a lot of people do get up this time of year early. We're on at 7 on KVOI. Yeah, our Friday roundtable will be coming up at 12:30. Sarah Garrett Gasson, the editorial page editor of the Arizona Daily Star and columnist at the Star, will join Jim Nintzel, the editor of the Weekly, for that portion of the program. But Sarah is here now with me. Sarah, how are you?
I am doing well, thanks.
And we are here to talk with Michael Hicks. Michael is the president of the Tucson Unified School District Governing Board. Michael, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you doing?
Real good. TUSD is the second largest school district in Arizona and the largest in Southern Arizona. Also on Friday, I want to do a media shout out to our friends who support our program by posting a link to the Buckmaster Show prominently on their websites, and that would be TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, and TucsonLifestyle.com, Southern Arizona News Examiner, and the Three Sonorans. Okay, school started, I guess, yesterday, right?
Yesterday was the first day of school.
And what reports are you going or have you received already? How did the initial day go? Usually there are the usual growing pains.
Correct.
Yeah.
Actually, we've gotten pretty good responses back in for the first day of school this year. Transportation was working pretty good. Their phones were ringing off the hook, people not knowing how their children are going to get picked up. And there's a couple little quirks, but not too much. Air conditioning on a few schools, but they got out there. Our crackpot
AC team.
People mm-hmm. were out there and getting it fixed. And
so everybody's got AC.
We should have all AC.
Now, what about teachers in the classroom? Last year, the start, there were problems as far as getting enough teachers. How do we start this school year?
I believe that we did pretty well. I believe there was under 107 teacher vacancies, but we were filling them with substitutes. So it's my understanding that most all the schools were all filled with teachers.
Sarah.
When you're talking about substitutes, are those long-term subs? Are they people, and are they are contracted from an agency? Is that right?
Yeah. Some are long-term subs, and some are just day-to-day subs. It's my goal to try to get the long-term subs back onto the payroll of TUSD and then still utilize the ESI system as the day-to-day subs.
Because it seems that if you're a parent, I'd be very concerned if my child was in a school with a substitute teacher who's not providing that continuity. I mean, I remember not paying a whole lot of attention as a kid to subs, and I'm just thinking the continuity. Why is it so hard for TUSD to fill those positions? Because while you said 107 is less than previous years, that's still a lot of openings.
It is still a lot of openings. There's a lot of different factors in it: the pay, the respect for the teachers that we currently have, and trying to get teachers back in. You know, when you have teachers not being able to have the ability to control their classrooms and to control the students and have good classroom management and have the administration backing them up. Although now the administration has changed, so hopefully some of that will change. The state has helped now in regards to relaxing the certification requirements for teachers coming in. It's my understanding Vail has taken advantage of that. I believe that we're trying to still take advantage of that. But it's, you know, we didn't have the greatest reputation in regards to our teachers and the respect for our teachers perfect example was the 301 that we had issues with. So it's going to take a while to get these things fixed. It doesn't work overnight. It doesn't happen overnight. And we're just going to keep plugging through and trying to make these things work and try to get the teachers back into TUSD. We need to value our teachers. We need to value what they do in our classrooms. We need to value, give them the support that they need, not only in their classrooms, but even outside of the classrooms in regards to administration and that type of stuff.
How connected is the unofficial AZ merit results came out, and TUSD is not doing well pretty much across the board as compared with the state. So is the teacher dissatisfaction, people leaving the profession, long-term subs, day-to-day subs, how is that connected to the performance in the classroom as shown by the AZ merit scores?
Well, I'll be perfectly honest with you. I'm at the schools all the time. I just had children, my own children in the school, so I know, and I still have friends who have kids in the school. And so I understand some of the what's going on. In regards to the AZ merit, when kids find out that taking this AZ merit does not have any effect on them in regards to their being retained or moving forward or even graduating, and this is basically from middle school up, they don't care. The kids that I talked to said, well, we just went in and we just wanted to get out of it, so they were just clicking on things. Where we need to look at the AZ merit scores, I believe, is in the elementary side of this. Because within the elementary side of this, I don't see those kids on Twitter. They're not on Facebook. They're not on, you know, Instagram and all this stuff, and not knowing that this test doesn't really mean anything moving forward. So what I want to do is I want to focus on what was going on with our elementary kids taking the AZ merit test, because that's going to show exactly what's really going on. Because I can tell you, the kids knew that this AZ merit didn't mean anything for them moving forward or graduating or any of that. So they were just taking, and this is statewide.
So why is it offered if it's not essential to their graduation?
I don't know. But it wasn't essential to their graduation. It wasn't essential to moving forward. So I don't put a whole lot towards that from middle school up. Mm-hmm. I want to focus on elementary school, how that moved up, and then figure out how to do that. Now, granted, not all the kids probably did that, but I do know quite a few of them that did do it.
So basically the kids are allowed to, one, they know it doesn't matter to them, but it sounds like you're saying if it doesn't directly affect them in their own lives directly, they're just going to bail and not do anything. That's a pretty low assessment of students in your own school district.
That's statewide. Statewide, if you look at it statewide, you'll see that there was a lot that was done. If you do, once they do the studies, that these kids just, you know,
are mailing through. It in.
Well, they just did it to get out of the class or to get out of the test.
Doesn't that speak to the environment? Whether it's happening elsewhere or not, doesn't it speak to the environment within the classrooms and the schools that you've been on the... So tell me, how does the board address that? How do you, as a sitting board member for a while now, address that? Because it's just... I understand some kids are going to blow things off, but if the environment is such that we don't care, they're
incentives.
Externally
you got to
motivated.
Give incentives. You got to give incentives.
Like what?
When you're driving down the street, what's your incentive to drive the speed limit?
Safety, so I don't get in a crash.
No, not getting a ticket.
No, I drive pretty well, so I don't get in a crash and hurt people or myself.
Okay, that's okay. But what about the other person?
I can't speak for them.
Most of the time, there's an incentive for you. So the incentive for you to drive, you know, the speed limit or under the speed limit or at the speed limit is, for you, is safety for yourself and whoever else around you. If there's no incentive for these kids to move to take a test and they know there's, what are you going to do? They're going to speed. They're going to do whatever. So for me, I need to focus on every test when we're going through and moving these children through the system is getting them the education that they need, truly giving them the education. And here's a problem that we have. As a society, we put so much on these teachers. Their time is, okay, they got 3 minutes and 15 seconds of doing this. They got an hour of doing this. They got an hour of that. They can only have – that doesn't work. When you put in all these restrictions that the society has in a whole, not just the state legislatures, not just us, but society as a whole has been pushing this. Teachers, you can't get everything that they need to learn in these classrooms within the time that they need. Also, I'm a big proponent of getting some of these kids out of the classroom and outside and moving around and doing. You can't keep these kids in the classroom and keep them sitting down for this entire time, but their teachers are expected to do that and try to get them to learn going forward. So we need to give these kids a good education, move them forward, and make them critical thinkers.
And I just wanted to follow up, sir, and I know you have a follow-up too,
yes.
And we are at the break, but about incentives, like what kind of incentives would it take to get the kids
that
motivated?
I don't know yet. Okay. I mean, we need to work with the kids. What would make you do this? We're in a digital age now.
Okay.
These kids are on Twitter, they're on Instagram, they're on everything. I mean, they're underneath their desks texting while their teacher's going.
So if you're saying that the kids are just basically blowing off the
not easy, all kids.
Not all kids, but your explanation for the low scores are students aren't taking it seriously. They're blowing it off in enough numbers that it's tanking the scores.
Mm-hmm.
But then when it comes up on the governing board agenda, it is pushed to the back. And the board, you adjourn at a meeting where it's on the agenda to be spoken about without talking about it. How do you send that message that, yes, you're supposed to do this, when the board is sending the message, it's not worth talking
about?
That's
a horrible thing to do. And if you
and
go
you did
back,
it.
No. I asked to have it extended, and I didn't get a second. So that ends the meeting. So,
but
the other four members of my board chose not to go forward with it.
But the point is, it was on the agenda at a
correct.
Point where it was 10:30 at night or 11, or I mean, past the point of expecting
mm-hmm.
people with lives and kids and things to do to go on. So, as board president, why not emphasize it and say this is an important thing? Because the message that you're sending when it's just too late, we're not going to talk about it.
So you're saying
you're just,
push it up to the
you're
closer to.
I've asked, and when people don't want to move it forward, and people don't, it's
don't
not
you set
as
the
simple.
Board agenda though.
I set the joint beforehand, yes, and so
then
does
why
the
not
superintendent.
Why not put that something that's public interest needs to be talked about, needs leadership from the board? Why not put that at the beginning of the agenda after the consent agenda?
And it should be before the consent agenda.
Okay.
Here's my goal within the TUSD school district. If people understand, prior to me being the president, we would have meetings up until 12, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. This was before my presidency.
Right.
That's ridiculous.
Absolutely.
And that was the old board.
I felt like bringing my sleeping bag sometimes.
Well, trust me. I'm up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
And we don't make good decisions after 10 o'clock at night.
But that doesn't answer my question.
And I agree. It should have been up forward. It
okay.
should have been before that. But we had also board members who wanted to have the other things going also. One of the issues that we had was the staff, when they were doing their presentations, went too long. The superintendent and I had a discussion because we should have been done with that meeting by 9 o'clock, period. But I'm not going to be rude and just stop the presentations that's being forward to it. I'm working with the superintendent, trying to have him work with his staff to go, we don't need staff to read word for word everything on a PowerPoint to us.
Right.
As
hey,
a board.
That is just a rule of
absolutely
nature, I think.
Okay, we need to take the break right here, but there's a lot more to talk about with Michael Hicks, Mike Hicks, the president of the TUSD Governing Board. Take the break. We'll be back right after this.
This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday at noon, the Monday Political Face-Off features commentators Jeff Rogers and Bruce Ash. Plus, former United States Army Chief of Staff and expert on Korea, General John Wickham, will join us. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, with our worldwide live listening, podcasts, and archive on my website, buckmastershow.com. All right, welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Time flies when you're having fun. Sarah Garrett Gasson is here, editorial page editor for the Arizona Daily Star. Michael Hicks is president of the TUSD Governing Board. Mike has been on the board for 7 years. He is, as we were talking during the break, you were telling us you're seriously looking at a run as a Republican for the Tucson City Council in Ward 4. That's the seat that's been occupied for a long time by Shirley Scott.
Well, I'm not seriously looking at it, but
I put words in your mouth. Sorry about that. Okay.
So fake news.
It's been brought up.
All right. So your word is toying with it.
Right. I'm not sure. It really depends. I don't want to make any decisions until I make the decision, because, you know, if I do decide to run, then I'll put wholeheartedly into it. It depends on what's going on. I really, you know, if somebody pisses me off, I may stay on the school board.
Okay.
Try to stay.
I had a Facebook,
it all depends.
Facebook question. What incentive would the board need to bring back MAS, Mexican American Studies, not culturally relevant courses, if the federal court rules the ban is unconstitutional and racist? Will that decision impact the board?
No. There's In regards to the former Mexican-American Studies program that was running at the district, there was a lot of things that was good with it, and there was a lot of things that was bad with it. One of the things in regards to the MAS and why the board had to do some of the things that they were doing also is the programs have never went through the process to become a core curriculum. It just migrated into a core curriculum. So we need to look at things like that. There was a lot of teachers who did teach those classes in a meaningful way from kids that I talked to. And by the way, I did go to more than one of the classes, so I do know what I'm talking about.
How many did you go to?
I went to about three of them.
Okay.
So I did go to those. I didn't rely on hearsay. But I did talk to lots of students, a lot of Hispanic students, a lot of white students, and a lot of black students, and got those guesses. There was a few teachers that, yes, I had an issue with, that I thought that they were teaching it in a manner that did generate some hostility towards the kids, towards other individuals. So, but all in all, we were found in not in compliance. It was state law, like it or not, it was a state law. And so we had to look at, are we willing to lose, what was it, I think it was like $10 or $12 million from state revenue for our kids, for the entire district, or suspend, which, again, the classes weren't, they were suspended. They were not dismantled. They were suspended. If you go back and read the resolution that I wrote, because I wrote the resolution. And also, there was no banning of books. The books were not banned. The books were just removed from the classrooms and put into the libraries. So,
Sarah?
With the TUSD board, anyone who's paid attention in recent years or going back for as long as I can remember covering it, board drama is, it's like its own very bureaucratic soap opera with twists and turns.
Yes.
And alliances. And
yes.
Could be a reality show.
It
could be a reality show.
With you being board president, what are you willing to do and what will you do to kind of bridge that divide, because it's very clear 3-2 split. It's you and Mark Stegeman and Rachel Sedgwick seem to be on the majority, and then Crystal Foster and Adelita Grijalva are formerly they were in the majority, but now they're in the minority. And it seems that there's just that the gulf is so big that it really gets into the way of operating in the best interest of the kid, which is why everyone's supposed to be there.
Yep.
So what are you willing to do to make amends, rebuild the relationship, or is it just irrevocably broken?
I'll be honest with you. I think it's broken. But if you go
beyond repair?
Well, maybe not beyond repair, but I think it's going to take a lot to change things. And if you go back, you're basically saying, in regards to it's Mark Stegeman, myself, and Rachel, if you look at some of the votes or a lot of the votes, I don't vote all the time with Mark Stegeman.
Well, I'm just saying that.
But it's implying that, you know, it's now the shift, because if you look back before when it was Ms. Grijalva, Ms. Foster, and Mr. Juarez, it was
the
always
3-2
the 3-2
majority.
Board.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's, that sucks. I think it shouldn't happen. Our main thing, focus, should be what's going on with the kids and what's best for these kids. If you'll notice, I usually don't say anything till the last. I want my board members to be able to get their information out. And I'm going to make the vote that's best for the kids with the information that I have in front of me. I'm trying to do what I can to fix things, but...
Like, what kind of things are you doing?
Letting them... I'm trying to get them to be able to be short and get to the points on the dais, when we're on the dais, and not go back and forth. trying to stop the, you know, she says, he says, she says, she says type of thing, and this bickering on the dais. I'm trying to stop that because it's not good for the public to even see us doing things like this. I mean, look at the Board of Supervisors. They don't all get along. Not even some of the majority gets along with each other. But when they're on the dais, they don't show that. That's not show. We need to build the ability to, you don't have to like somebody, but you shouldn't be in public, you know, doing things like some of us do.
Well, what can you do? Can you kind of...
The only thing I can do is really on the dais is try to curtail that and move forward and try to stop it that way. And that's on both sides. I mean,
can you just say, stop this right now?
Nope. There's not a whole lot I can do in regards to that. I mean, it is what it is. If somebody has a magic way for me to be able to do it, I'm willing to try anything. But I truly do believe it's broken.
What about the new superintendent? The search, where is that real quickly?
The search is, we're on Tuesday, we're going to be meeting in an executive session at 2:30 to go over the names that are being brought forward to us. It's my understanding that we'll be having 5 names brought before us, and then we're going to look at these. It's my goal to have at least 2 or 3 individuals who can go out and then meet the public and have discussions. We need to have a good, strong superintendent who's not tied to me, not tied to Dr. Stegeman, not tied to Ms. Grijalva or Ms. Foster or Ms. Sedgwick. We need somebody who's going to look at, say, this is where we need to go, and this, you know, and we need to help that individual move forward and, you know, support each other on that.
Do you have a preference for someone coming from within the district or even the area or from without, just someone new?
No, actually. I think it would be probably good to have somebody from outside, but I also think that might be harder also because they don't know the whole history and the whole formalization of the district. So there's pros and cons to both. I just want to try to pick the best superintendent who's going to be here. Who's going to have the willpower to tell me no, or tell Ms. Grijalva no, or Dr. Stegeman no, if it's the wrong thing to do.
Just to clarify, you did say that MAS will not be returning to TUSD. What the federal court ruling is.
No, okay. I'm not saying that it's not going to return.
Okay.
I'm saying is I hope it doesn't return in the same manner as some of the classes were when we suspended them.
So
because some of the classes were good.
You'd be open to a different version of it returning.
Oh, absolutely. Or the way that they're and done the right way and moved it through the system the right way. So, absolutely. If it makes sense, then I'm going to look at it. If it doesn't make sense, then I'm not going to support it. If it's back the same as some of the way that some of the individuals were teaching it, and I'm telling you, you can go on YouTube and do a search on a couple of the teachers and you can see what I'm talking about. That's not indignant of an educational system moving the students in a critical way to in critical thinking and moving them forward.
I wanted to follow up really quickly on something you just said about you're looking for a superintendent who is strong enough to stand up and tell you no, mm-hmm. and to tell other people no. But the superintendent works for the board directly.
Correct.
So practically speaking, how do you create that environment where your employee basically is going to say, no, I don't think you should do that, and not run afoul of, as we have, because we have seen this happen before.
Oh, look at our city council. I mean, it's the same thing with our city managers.
But specifically in TUSD, we've had superintendents who've tried that, and then they've been ushered out the door fairly quickly.
Correct. Well, and that's just it. I'm hoping that we can get through that. But that's the nature of the beast in politics. Is you got to have You want somebody who's going to move this system forward in the best way that it can. If everybody is on that, then it shouldn't be a problem. The people who have a problem with that, then it's going to be a problem to them. You know, it's if we have a superintendent who's coming forward, and the public needs to get involved. If we have a superintendent who's moving this district forward, and they see that they see a board who's trying to resist some of the things that this superintendent, then they need to, you know, that's the public needs to get involved and say, hey, this I think is the best thing for us.
Okay, Michael Hicks, board president, TUSD. Thank you very much, Mr. Hicks, sharing with us that he is, I believe the quote was, toying with the idea of running as a Republican in Ward 4 in the city council election, and that would be the year 2019. All right. Michael Hicks, thanks.
Thank you.
Sarah, stick around. Don't leave. We've got.
I am glued to my seat.
All right. We'll take our break right here, and then we'll be back. Jim Nintzel joins us. We're going to talk about Jeff Flake. What's his political future now in Arizona? We'll be right back. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, named after the classic New Orleans cocktail. Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Philip's Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Philip's Plaza.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improve mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. All right, welcome back to our Buckmaster Show Friday edition. Time for our Friday roundtable. Just a bit abbreviated today because we had quite a conversation with Michael Hicks, the TUSD board president, Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial page editor of the Arizona Daily Star, also a columnist. And Jim Nintzel joins us. Jim is editor of the Tucson Weekly. Jim, how are you?
Doing great, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. I think you and Sarah, I want to talk about this Jeff Flake. I think that was a really big story of the week, the fact that he's released this book. It's kind of like a memoirs about I don't remember the exact title, Heart of a Conservative.
Conscience of
a Conservative. Jim, my question for you is, how is that going to play? Is that going to play into the hands of the people who really like Donald Trump in this primary? Is he in trouble, in other words, in this primary election that's going to be coming up next year?
Well, you know, we'll have to see who ends up in the race and what happens. You know, there is certainly a possibility we could have two Senate races going forward in 2018, depending on what happens with John McCain's health. But that said, yeah, I think this is a really fascinating move for Flake because I don't think it helps him with his Republican base, which was already kind of sketchy or feeling like Flake was kind of sketchy or kind of flaky as far as they were concerned. I've talked to a lot of people on the right who just say that, you know, Flake is not conservative enough. And then you look at his voting record and people on the left say that he's way too conservative. So, you know, I think he already has that weakness among some Republicans, and now he's taking this step of being very critical of Donald Trump and the direction of the Republican Party. So I think it could actually be quite damaging to his primary chances.
And again, you're saying depends on who the primary candidate will be. Well, we know there's one, and that's former state senator from Lake Havasu City, Dr. Kelly Ward. But you're saying, you're kind of saying maybe some others might jump in.
Some others might jump in, or maybe Kelly Ward switches over to run for an open seat if John McCain decides to step down. You know, there's this possibility that we could have these two Senate races in Arizona, which is a very unusual thing. And then some of the candidates who are thinking about challenging Jeff Flake might change their minds and decide they'd rather run for an open seat. Again, depending on, you know, and we certainly hope John McCain recovers or is able to continue to serve his term. But, you know, he is in a terrible health situation.
Right. Sarah, some of your thoughts.
Well, Jeff Flake was one of the few Republicans who came out against Trump. Not necessarily, I mean, he named Trump, obviously, but was more about the behavior and the ideas and...
Pretty much early on.
Very early on.
In the primary process.
And he didn't endorse him. And John McCain, who had said critical things of Donald Trump as well, in the end endorsed him, only to unendorse him after some particularly egregious statements on Trump's part. But Jeff Flake has always tried to position himself as the thoughtful, conservative, family man, family values, and kind of a lower key version of, in contrast to John McCain's just high energy, go, go, go. And I think that that's attractive to a lot of Republicans that I've talked to and maybe some Democrats. But I think the problem, as we've talked about, is in the primary. Mm-hmm. I don't think he would have a problem statewide. It's just getting past that primary and getting those people who feel left out and are horrified by Donald Trump and the way that their party has conducted itself recently, getting them to the polls. And it's that's a hard lift.
Jim?
Yeah, you know, the Republican primaries have been very interesting affairs in recent years, and you've seen some real surprises and some upsets. And I think when, you know, Trump is still very popular in the Republican base. You know, he's not very popular elsewhere, but he has those core supporters, and Jeff Flake is really going in the face of those people. And it's kind of fascinating. You know, I'm not the first person to observe this, but, you know, at the same time, he's being very critical of Donald Trump and the process and where things are these days. He's still voting for something like the skinny repeal of the Obamacare, which was just a terrible bit of legislation that was cobbled together. You had people like Lindsey Graham saying that he hoped he would never become law, even as he voted for it, and John McCain saying that the process there was too terrible for him to continue with. So, you know, that would have been an area where Jeff Flake, I think, could have put his money where his mouth is these days and said, hey, this is a real problem the way we're going about this, and yet he chose not to do that. So his voting record isn't going to endear him to too many Democrats, and his criticism of Trump isn't going to endear him to a whole lot of Republicans. So he's sort of managing to alienate both sides.
Yeah, the Washington Post had a really excellent kind of play-by-play of what happened that night in the Senate. And the Senate leadership, actually, if I'm recalling correctly, sent Jeff Flake over to speak with John McCain and to try to talk to him about, you know, please vote for this skinny repeal. And McCain, from the reporting, didn't even really acknowledge him. So I think it's really important, especially when we're talking about what people say, it's to look at the voting record and really what they've done, because that's where the real truth lies.
I only have a couple of minutes left, and I do want to entertain something else I found very interesting this week, Congresswoman McSally's new health care legislation, where she is reaching across the aisle to District 1 Congressional Democrat Tom O'Halloran.
Yeah, that's an interesting group. I think they call themselves, I don't remember what they're calling themselves.
It's Problem Solver Caucus.
Problem Solver Caucus. I thought, for a second, I thought it was the Get It Done Caucus, but that was a partial quote from something else McSally had said. But the idea that there are, you know, kind of things, individual pieces that can be adjusted and fixed and improved, I think is a good way to go about it. I think it's good that these problem solvers are talking. That's always positive. And the challenge will be to see where that goes with the bigger picture and the leadership. I do think it's interesting that McSally hasn't really said much about healthcare other than what she wants, but not commenting on what was in front of the House when it came before them, but is now getting very much in front of, I'm a problem solver in response.
Jim, your reaction, please.
Well, you know, I think Sarah's right. You know, it's a long way to 218 votes from where they are now in order to get this thing across the finish line in the House. But I think this is the direction that you're going to see Congress go rather than the wholesale repeal of the Affordable Care Act. You know, obviously the Republicans have been saying for a long time, the law is collapsing, the law is not working. I think for most people, the law is working. I think the Medicaid expansion is working really well. It's not cheap, but it's keeping hospitals alive. It's helping people who are at low income levels have health insurance in the states that have expanded it. And yet that was one of the big targets of the repeal efforts to get rid of that Medicaid expansion. And it was something that I think one of the big things that ran into opposition as they moved forward with the whole thing. And so I think focusing on where the real problems are with the Affordable Care Act, which is in the individual marketplace and where people who don't get it through their insurers and aren't eligible for Medicaid can get insurance, is a good step in the right direction.
Okay, I'm going to have to wrap it up real quickly, but I do want to acknowledge the Arizona Daily Star, the employer of my friend, seated right next to me, Sarah.
Hello.
Garrett Gasson. John DiOrlando comes as the new president and publisher. Did I pronounce his name correctly?
Yes.
DiOrlando.
Yes. It's D apostrophe Orlando.
And he comes from?
Orlando, Florida.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. But he's a newspaper guy. He's got experience, right?
He does. He comes up through the advertising side of things, and rather than the newsroom side of things. And he's very outgoing, and the staff is excited to have him on board. And I look forward to working with him. And I hope you will invite him on your show, because I think he'd like to talk to you.
He's invited as of right now.
Well, thank you. I'll pass that along.
Okay. And Jim, how are you doing at the Weekly? Getting ready to put another, well, you actually just, you're always putting another public.
We're always got another one on the burner. And I actually want to just congratulate Sarah on her recent promotion to heading up that editorial page over there. Sarah, it's well-deserved.
It's looking,
thank you.
It's looking,
luck in that
it's looking good, too.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And just a quick plug, the Star is going to make our endorsement in the Tucson City Council Ward 3 Democratic primary on Sunday. So check that out.
Very cool. And I decided to re-air our Ward 3 debate that we did kind of early, maybe in the cycle, but we're going to re-air that next, actually Wednesday the 16th. It was a half-hour debate. Figured we'd give that another run. Sarah, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, Jim Nintzel, thank you. I'll let you get back to work there, Nintz.
Always a pleasure. Thank you so much, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Let's take our break right here. Weekend Watch right after this.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov. Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Twisted Tandoor, the legendary Indian food truck, now has a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu expands on the popular Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, it's at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive and on the web at thetwistedtandoor.com. Alrighty then, Weekend Watch, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Great weekend getaway. If you're thinking, what should we do this weekend? How about a road trip 3 hours from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico? The full listing of the many wonderful places to stay and great things, great recreation opportunities in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now the host of Weekend Watch, Mr. Matt Russell, Inside Tucson business food and beverage columnist and award-winning publicist, president, CEO of Russell Public Communications. Matt, how are you?
I am doing great, Bill. Always nice to talk to you. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. Another Friday, another opening.
Yes, Weekend Watch, your source for new restaurant opening news on the Buckmaster Show. This week, we see the grand opening of Bird, Modern Provisions and Bar in Casas Adobas Plaza on Oracle and Ina. This is kind of a nod to the Southern table style of dining. Southern soul and comfort right at the center of the plate and in the glass. So think Hush Puppies with a pepper jam, 24-hour brined fried chicken with a honey Tabasco, shrimp and grits with andouille, and a cocktail menu worthy of Miss Daisy herself. I gotta suggest the mint julep, of course. Bird has officially taken flight, so I say go put a little south in your mouth this weekend.
Well, sounds very intriguing. Also, we've got another challenge this weekend.
We do, indeed. Starting tomorrow at 6 o'clock p.m., more than 40 bartenders from across town are going to convene downtown at the TCC to compete for the title of Tucson's Best Michelada. Now, the Michelada, Bill, of course, is a traditional drink made with a blend of tomato juice and beer. But after that, it's up to the bartenders to take it to a whole new level with any other flavor and spice they want to bring. $25 gets you in the door. You can try samples from each of the contestants. Vote for your favorite live mariachi music, folklorical music. The Michelada is one of those beverages that has all of the basic food groups. So treat yourself to a few tomorrow at the TCC.
Lots of mixologists in one place. Can't beat that. How about Boca?
Yeah, you know, after many years of serving some of my favorite tacos and tequilas on Speedway near the U of A campus, Chef Maria Maison this week has relocated her restaurant, Boca, to 4th Avenue in that great space that was occupied by Delectables for so long. This new space is going to enable her to kind of meet the growing demand for two things that make the world go round, tacos and tequila, in a much bigger space to accommodate her much bigger crowds, and a beautiful patio to boot for some afternoon sipping and snacking. I say go check out Boca's new digs this weekend.
Speaking of sipping, how about the column this week?
Yeah, you know what, Bill? In all of my years covering the cocktail scene, I have never tasted a Singapore Sling.
What?
Until just a couple of weeks ago, if you could believe it. And this personal story, along with the story behind this early 20th century cocktail, is all chronicled in this week's edition of Inside Tucson.
Have a great weekend. Thank you, Matt.
Cheers, Bill.
All right. Can you participate in the unregulated free market no matter what your income? Come to the market, governed only by common courtesy and common sense, to buy, sell, trade to your heart's content. Sundays, 10 a.m., Swap Shop, right before Liberty Watch on KVOI. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. Want to do a big shout out to my longtime assistant, Rosemary Brandt. Thank you, Rose, getting our show up and posted at buckmastershow.com in such a timely manner. All of my friends here at KVOI, they do
such a great job supporting the Buckmaster Show Monday through Friday. Friday, of course, my support coming from the gentleman on the other side of the glass, Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing. Ray Allen is in that seat Monday through Thursday. Thank you, Ray. And thank you to the entire team here at KVOI. On behalf of all of us, we really hope you have a great and safe weekend. Back with you Monday at 12:04.